Tonight, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to John chapter 10. We're all following after someone or something. We live in a culture where social media registers how many followers you might have. We can gauge ourselves by how many likes or responses that we get in a matter of seconds. We're always following something. Some keep up with the newest fashions and they follow the marketing ploys all the way into the shopping stores. There are some who follow after the politics and you watch your favorite news anchor each night. Some of those that are more economically minded, you follow the stock market on a daily basis, and perhaps you keep an eye on the Fed to see if the interest rates are going to go up. Some, if you're following the real estate or construction business, you're following that very closely in Nashville as we see this booming trend in the Nashville area as souls are being brought into this place. I want you to think about that just for a moment, that God is sending 100 people, I believe, a day, every day into this area. Now, there needs to be some sound churches that are delivering the gospel out to the world, because God is bringing people from all over the world right in our back door. I believe that God will hold us responsible for how we go out and carry this gospel message. We have some that are following after every sporting event that's out there, that there may be some college sports or NFL or NBA or some other hockey that you like to follow. But everybody around us is constantly following something. But I want to ask you this question tonight: who are you really following? Who has your ear? Who are you listening to? From a spiritual perspective, there are many voices out in this world that are saying many things about God. Some of them are false. Some are pointing you to God. And some may be directing you away from Him. Who is leading your life? Where are you today? Are you lost in the wilderness of this world? Are you wandering, trying to figure out what you are doing and where you're going? Do you know where you will end up? These are all vast questions for all of us tonight. That do you know where you're going? Who are you listening to? And where are you going to end up? Because it says in Proverbs that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So there are some that they're thinking they're following the right people and they're going to the right places and doing the right things, but where will you end up? Because there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So it's very important that we know who we're following. You know, I thank God tonight I can say that I know who I'm following. I'm not trying to lead Him. I'm just trying to follow Him. And oh, how sweet it is to be able to hear His sweet voice. Just this morning as I've been praying this week, Lord, help me this week. Help me to be able to share something of value to this church, that the church might be lifted up, that the church might be unified, that not only that would be the case, but those that do not know You, Jesus, that they might know clearly who You are, because you need to know who He is, because He's leading many sons and daughters to glory. He's already blazed a trail, but you've got to make sure tonight that your Father, following Him, that you hear His voice, that He has opened up your ear to hear Him. As Brother Travis said the other night, that He speaks in a still, small voice. Oh, I'll tell you, He came to me one night as I was in my bedroom and I was calling out on the name of the Lord, and I really wasn't under that deep conviction that night. I had been in other nights. The Lord had just burdened me down, but this night I wasn't under deep conviction. I just knew that, God, if You don't save me, nobody's going to save me. But oh, in that hour, I knew that I needed grace, that there was unmerited favor that I stood in need of. And oh, I'll tell you, the one that I want to tell you about
about tonight is the Good Shepherd. He's the one that is able, as we look tonight, He's the one that left heaven's gates and He stepped down into this world to seek and to save those that were lost. We were all wandering out on the hills. Perhaps you were in the ditch with a broken leg. You were unable to save yourself. Whatever place you found yourself in, you were helpless. You were lonely. You were destitute. You were unable to get yourself out of that miry pit. But I tell you that there's a Savior tonight who came from heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. And this Good Shepherd, as we read this passage of Scripture, we're going to find out that He says either four times, I believe, that He gives His life for His sheep, or He lays down His life. Do you know that the Good Shepherd was willing? He's not like a hireling that doesn't really care about people, but He was willing to lay down His very life as a substitute that you and I might have life. Tonight I want to conclude by, as we think about the Good Shepherd, I want us to see how He leads and secures His sheep. Oh, it's so beautiful what God has done for His people. I do not know why anyone would not want to follow Him. He is the Good Shepherd. If you're on the wrong road tonight, I pray that you'll hear this message. That you'll ask yourself this question of, where am I? Where am I in life? We ask those questions about all kinds of other things except for our spiritual life and where we're going. Ask yourself that question, where am I? Am I in the center of God's will? Or am I drifting and wandering? Am I even in the fold? If I'm not in the fold, I would be very concerned about my soul tonight. You need to ask yourself this question of, where am I going? What is the guiding focus of my life? What direction am I going in? Because each one of us are going somewhere. Let's read what John recorded for us in verse 11 of John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth his sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear you him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand.
I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. The Pharisees and the Jews, they realized that Jesus had just declared himself to be God. As we consider this passage before us, the Good Shepherd, Jesus came and he left heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. As he looked out on the multitudes, just like we look out on the crowd tonight, Jesus would have compassion. He saw humanity as those that were wandering, that they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what they believed. They didn't know one end from the other. They had no idea what they were doing with their lives per se. But there was something about Jesus that was drawing people to Him. You may be here tonight and you've been coming in and out of this sheepfold. And you may be a goat, but you're still hanging around the sheep. I'll tell you, there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus knows His sheep and He's going to divide the sheep from the goat. And I'll tell you that tonight you can gather in and hear this message, but there's coming a great day of separation one of these days that He knows those that are His. Because everyone that is His, He has went out and He has sought after them and He has saved them, and He knows it and you know it if you've been born again of His Spirit. He had a desire to seek and to save that which was lost. But oh, how Jesus, as He stands here before the Pharisees and others, they had turned this into just a money-making scandal. Much of the religion had been turned into a money-making scandal. They had been selling doves and animals there in the temple. They had been exchanging money, and they had used the power and prestige to their own advantage. And over in Ezekiel's message to them in chapter 34, God takes up a warning against the shepherds, the false leaders of the sheep of Israel. And He said there in Ezekiel, He said the religious leaders were given a warning, and instead of feeding the flock, they were feeding themselves. Instead of strengthening the weak, they were just concerned about themselves. They had no concern about healing the sick or binding up the wounds of the brokenhearted or seeking after those that were lost. They were just concerned about themselves, and they ruled with force and cruelty according to Ezekiel. And they had failed to lead the people to God. And they had left God's people scattered all over the mountains. They were not telling them about the sacrificial system and the need for a lamb to die in their place and the need for a pure offering. They had just let all those things go by the wayside. But oh, God there in Ezekiel said that I'm going to raise up a good shepherd. I'm going to raise up one that will be concerned for the sheep. I'll raise up one that will see those that have gone astray, and He will go after them, and He will seek and to save those that were lost. And oh, how Jesus came here on a mission into this world, as Luke's gospel tells us that there was one shepherd that had a great fold of 100 sheep, and he had 99 grazing on the hillside. And Jesus was telling this parable to the Pharisees and the publicans and the sinners and the Pharisees, the distinction between the two. And they were all gathered there hearing, and the sinners and tax collectors, they knew they were lost. They knew they were separated from God. But the Pharisees, they thought they were righteous and they were okay. But Jesus told this story that if a shepherd had one sheep that had wandered away, would he not go after it? Because they had to, a good shepherd would have to account for every single sheep that had gone astray. And he said that he would leave the 99, he would leave that fold, and he would go and he would search out into the highways, into the ditches, and on the mountaintops and in the low valleys, and he would try to find that sheep that had gone astray. And I'll tell you, the Bible tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have been stubborn. Every one of us have gone after our own way. But oh, if not for the grace of God, if not for a seeking Savior, if not for one who said that I'm going to go outside the walls of this church, and I'm going to reach out to you, and I'm going to get a hold of you, and I'm going to find you wherever you are. Because we'd all wandered from the truth. You know, when I got saved, I was on the verge of just leaving the church. Many people say that age category of 20 to 30 is one of a very critical time, and that's where I was because I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing. I thought that if I could get in the business world and make a lot of money and retire early, then I was going to be set. That was my goal. That was my desire. My mission in this world was to make money and to get my family a house in order, and everything else would be okay. But oh, I'll tell you, God gave me a job, as we talked about it at the dinner table tonight, that I thought I was going to retire early, but I believe God has gotten me a job that I'm never going to retire until I lay down this old gospel plow. But oh, one of these days I'm going to be able to lay it aside and say, Lord, I tried to tell Him about You. I tried to tell Him that You're the bread of life and You're the light of the world and You're the door of the sheep. I tried to tell Him that You're the good shepherd. And Lord Jesus, one of these days I'm going to be able to go into those pearly gates, Lord. You're going to lead me all the way home, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But oh, tonight He's got us on a mission, church. He is seeking after those that are lost. And oh, isn't it good that if you've wandered away from the truth like I did, I wanted to leave the church. I was tired of hearing those preachers preach. I was tired of hearing those singers sing. I was tired of hearing the saints tell about the goodness of God, because every time they told about the goodness of God, I realized they had something that I didn't have, and I was getting ready just to walk back out there into the world. And oh, I don't know where I'd be tonight if God hadn't went searching on that mountaintop and over down in that valley that I was in, because I was lost and I was wounded. Oh, I can tell you how life had wounded my soul. I'd been hurt by many things that I'd gone through as I grew up in life, and oh, my soul was in anguish, and I was looking for answers, but I couldn't find them out in the world. But oh, I tell you, Jesus came one night there in that apartment at Brentwood Downs, down in that area. I wasn't a rich man, even though I lived down in that area of town. But I tell you, Jesus, it doesn't matter if you're a rich man or you're a poor man. He's willing to seek and to save all that will realize that they're lost. And I'll tell you, that night as I was crying out about 1:40 in the morning, I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I can't save myself. All I've got is a heart to give. I'll tell you, that night the good shepherd came by. He saw that soul that had wandered astray, and He said, I want you to come and I want you to follow Me. And you know what? The seeking Savior that came and found Me, He can come and find you tonight. He's able to save you. He's got all the power in the world. And I tell you, He took my broken heart. He took it, and I believe He probably broke a little bit more in me. He threw me on His shoulders because He wanted me to stay really close to Him for a while. And He wanted me to get used to His voice. And He wanted me to grow in that bonding relationship, that the next time when I was tempted to go astray, that He would remind me, just keep listening to My voice and I'll keep you close to Me. If you'll just keep your ear open, I'll let you hear from Me, and I'll let you know you're right where you need to be. Oh, it's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's a blessing to be in the center of God's will. It's a joy to be in the work of the Lord. I'll tell you, if you're not doing what God wants you to do in the house of the Lord, I want to encourage you to get after it with all your heart. Brother Tim's been talking about how I've enjoyed these meals over the last few nights. I have enjoyed the homes that have been opened up to us. I praise God that He's opened up these homes to us to enjoy these wonderful meals and this bountiful fellowship. And I enjoy a good meal and I enjoy fellowship. But I tell you, there's not much greater joy than to be in the center of God's will. I know He's called me to preach the gospel. I don't understand all about it, but I know He's called me to do it. And I'll tell you, I enjoy telling people about Jesus. He's a seeking Savior. He's willing to come after you tonight. If you'll just say, Lord, here I am, one little lost lamb. Lord, here I am. Will You just come and rescue me because I need You? You might say, how can He rescue you? Oh, this seeking Savior. I'll tell you, He was willing to lay His life down for you. He was willing to lay His life down for you. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In verse 11, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. I don't even feel worthy of even touching this right now to be able to tell you the depths of the sacrifice that Jesus went through. Oh, but it tells us over in Isaiah 53, if you turn over there and read, you'll find that it says, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Him. the chastisement of our peace. All of us had gone astray. We had turned our own way, but the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You know, this Savior that I tell you about, this Good Shepherd, He knew that you would never be fit to make it into His fold outside of His work of grace. But Jesus was willing to lay down His life as a sacrifice for you. The Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And it says here in that chapter, He said, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Do you know that the cross was not God's plan B? It was God's plan from the beginning. It pleased the Lord to bruise His Son, that His Son would be bruised, that the chastisement of our peace would be upon Him, and by His stripes our souls could be healed. Do you know that as Jesus laid down His life in a voluntary act of love there on the cross, and He allowed His blood to be shed, it says that He shall see His seed. I'll tell you that, that tells me tonight that even as Jesus was hanging on the cross, He saw those sheep that He was going to gather up. He saw them wherever they were, out on the dark hills, out in the lonely valleys, wherever they were. He saw you and He saw me, and He knew that His Father was going to give those sheep to His Son as a love gift and as a reward for His sufferings on the cross. And although He despised the shame, He despised the shame, but He said He went to the cross for the joy that's set before Him. I'll tell you that in that same parable in Luke's Gospel, it tells us there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Over just one sinner, I'll tell you. I would love to see just one sinner repent tonight and say, Lord, I'm lost, I'm undone, I need You to seek me out because there's no way I can get to You. How merciful and gracious He is. And it said, by this righteous servant He shall justify many. How God, when you come to Him, He's able to give you peace in your heart. Jesus spoke against the false teachers, and He said, the hireling, he cares not for the sheep, but when he sees the wolf coming, he will run. But do you know about the Good Shepherd tonight? He cares for sheep. You know, if you've been born again, how He loves us. How it says in the third verse here that He calls you by name. Isn't it wonderful to know that He knows your name? The name that was given unto you, the name that's recorded in heaven. Jesus told His disciples one day as He sent them out on a mission to preach the gospel. It's amazing when we went out there and we had power to preach the gospel and to cast out devils. And He said, don't rejoice for those things. You need to rejoice that your names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, rejoice because of that. I'll tell you, God knows your name. Isn't it good to know that your name has been written down, that it's been recorded in that citizen book on high, that nobody can block it, nobody can erase it, nobody can do anything to get it out there. It's inscribed there by the grace of God. He cares for His sheep. Jesus said previously in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know that God takes care of His sheep and watches over them. Jesus as the Good Shepherd, it reminded me of when David went before Goliath and he was trying to tell them that Saul was questioning him, are you really a fit man to go before Goliath? And David said over in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. I'll tell you, there's a greater shepherd king than David that I'm telling you about tonight. He said, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, David said. And I went out after him and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and I slew him. I'll tell you, there's a greater than David that I'm telling you about tonight that is watching over his sheep, that is watching over his flock. The Apostle Paul said as he was writing to Timothy there. He said that I felt that I was in the mouth of the lion, but oh, how the Lord came and He delivered me. I'll tell you, the Lord is able to take that rod and that staff that comforts His sheep, and He's able to knock the devil over the head and said, don't touch my child. That is mine. That is the one that I have bought and purchased with my own blood. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be His tonight? He knows His sheep and He calls them by name. He said, I have some that are not of this fold. They're going to be my fold as well. There's going to be one shepherd and there's going to be one fold. I tell you, Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost in Israel. But He had a plan that He was going to use Israel to be a light to the world. And I tell you, it's that little church, that little flock that Jesus said that He desires to give to His little flock the kingdom. I tell you, they went abroad spreading the gospel throughout the world. And the Gentiles, that other flock, were brought in and grafted in as well. Oh, what a joy it is that we all have the same shepherds. And He said, I had power to lay down my life. Isn't it wonderful to know that He laid down His life for us? But He also said that I have power to take it again. Do you know that no man took His life? Jesus said, it is finished. He declared victory before He said, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. He knew He had paid the price, the ransom price, that we might be redeemed. And He said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up, which speaks of His resurrection. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus has laid it down and He has taken it up? That although we travel through the valley of the shadow of death, this is why it's so important that you have a good shepherd, because every one of us are going to travel down the valley of the shadow of death, and every one of us are going to go through death. We're going to face that. That's a scary thing, isn't it? It is that to those that don't know their way. It is to those that don't know where they are tonight. It is for those who don't know where they're going. That seems just like a darkness, a blank of what am I going to do when I get to that point? I pray that you'll consider those things tonight. That's appointed a man wants to die, and after that the judgment. What are you going to do if you're unprepared, if you don't know the good shepherd? Because everybody else, the hirelings, they're not going to be anywhere around. They're going to get off you what they can get from you, and they're going to be gone. But I'll tell you, Jesus, He knows a way that even though you travel down the valley of the shadow of death, and He takes you there to that moment of things that we don't even know what's exactly on that other side per se. That's an unknown to us. But I'll tell you, Jesus has already walked the journey. He's already walked down that valley, that steep road into death. He's already went down into the grave, and He's already come out on the other side. I'll tell you. And He's already marched all the way up into heaven, and those everlasting doors were opened. And I'll tell you that when Jesus began ascending up to the Father's throne, the angels, they parted their ways, and they said, this is the King of glory. This is the Shepherd King. And Jesus marched all the way up there to the right hand of God the Father, and He took a seat because He's the Good Shepherd. He leads and secures His sheep. You know what they said about Jesus, and you might say this about this sermon tonight. In verse 19, there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, He has a devil and is mad. Why do you hear Him? That's what they said about Jesus. His words, He said, I am the good shepherd. And they said, this guy, this man that's speaking, he either has a devil, he's crazy, or he's mad, something's wrong with him. You may say that about the preachers. If you do, they said that about the greatest preacher that there ever was. Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can the devil open the eyes of the blind? Jesus had just opened up the eyes of the blind. He said, can the devil do that? And Jesus later says in verse 26, but you believe not They were saying, show us a sign. Let us see something. Jesus said, but you believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You may be here tonight and say, God, I need a sign. I need a sign. Show me. Show me that you're real. Show me that you are who you say you are. You know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the only sign you need. But if that's not enough, have you considered that Jesus has walked with His flock for the last 2,000 years and the gates of hell have not prevailed against it? There's a little flock gathered in this room tonight that hear His voice. Have you considered that? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that He's called out faithful men to proclaim His truth? Isn't it amazing that He organized this church many years ago? That it might be a light for the world, that whoever might come in at any time, that the church doors are open, that you can hear the shepherd's voice calling out. Have you considered that He sent a faithful pastor to you? He's brought you here tonight and He has given you an opportunity to come to Him. But yet you may be like these Pharisees and say, I still don't want to believe. Jesus said, if that's the case, you're not of His sheep if you believe not. Because He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. Consider what Jesus says. He said, my sheep. Do you know that He has a personal, intimate relationship with everyone that's been saved by God's grace? Isn't that wonderful to be able to wake up in the morning and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. To be able to lay down and cast your burdens and your cares upon Him because He cares for you. To know that He purchased you and He bought you with a great price. He gave up His own life, that you're treasured, that you're beloved. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Those that know me, they hear my voice. And they don't follow a stranger's voice. You know, I'm thankful for that night that I heard His voice. I heard it through the preachers all those years. I didn't even know what I was hearing. But I was hearing the truth, that I was hearing His voice from heaven saying, this is the way that I want you to go. Come and follow me. But many, many days and many nights I said, no, I'm not. I don't want to. But there came a night that I heard His voice. And I knew I had to follow. And I didn't even have the power or strength to get up myself to follow Him. But He's able to make the lame walk, isn't He? Oh, I couldn't even stand up on my own two feet, love, spiritually speaking. But when He saw me in my weakness, Christ died for the ungodly. And He says, I know them and they follow me. What is the blessing of this as we follow Jesus? He leads us all the way my Savior leads me. But He goes on to says, and I give unto them eternal life. I want you to consider what Jesus said. The sheep are given eternal life. They're given a gift of grace which provides endless, forever and ever amazing grace when we've been there 10,000 years kind of life. That's the kind of life that Jesus gives to His sheep. Life that does not come to an end. That although I may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and although I may walk through death, I'll enter into heaven's portals. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that? And He said, they shall never perish. Now consider these words of Jesus. Neither will they pluck them out of my hand. No man, nothing can pluck them out of my hand. And He said, my hand is in the hand of the Father's. And He's greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of His hand. You know, as Baptists, we believe in the eternal security of the believer. It's rooted in the sovereignty of God. And I want to share a few things as I was praying. Lord, help me to share this great doctrinal truth that You're the good shepherd and You lead and You secure Your sheep. I want you to understand how you're secure and why you are secured in Him. Number one, because our salvation is resting in the Trinity. Do you know that tonight that the relationships between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they cannot be broken. God is unchanging. And therefore our security is rooted in this relationship that can never be divided, never be separated, but that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are always in unity together. And no man, no power on this earth, no power in hell can get in there and divide that out. We're secured in Him. Number two. We're secured in Him because God has an everlasting covenant. The covenant has been ratified. That God's promise that He made in the halls of eternity past, that was given to Adam in the garden, that was given to Abraham, and was given to David, all those promises were kept on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," that was the cry of the Son from the cross. And in Revelation 21 and 6, it said, there's a cry of the Father, and He says, "It is done." Everything that God promised will be kept. And Jesus said here, "I give unto them eternal life." The third reason why we are secure is because of the power of the blood. Do you know that the blood will never lose its power? You may be here tonight and say, "Hey, if I get saved, can I lose it tomorrow?" I'll tell you, if you get saved, you're going to know it. And if you get saved, you'll hear His voice. And if you get saved, you'll follow Him. If you get saved, you may wander astray. But old David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I'll tell you, the blood will never lose its power. Just as it was painted on the doorpost there of those people that came out of the Exodus, I'll tell you, it had power to deliver from death. I'll tell you, Jesus' blood still has power. And the power of His blood will never diminish throughout the endless ages. I'll tell you, that is how great the life that He had, that He gave for you and I. We're secured in His blood. If that's not enough for you, let me give you another one. The resurrection. The Apostle Peter said, "We have a living hope that is rooted in the resurrection and is resting in the power of God and not in the wisdom of man." The Apostle Peter said, "We are kept by the power of God, and God has a place reserved for us in heaven." No man can cancel those reservations on us. We're kept by the power of God. Number five, how do we know we're secure in Him? As we believe, as Missionary Baptists, we believe in a personal salvation where you can know that you know yourself that you have been saved by the grace of God. You can know that God has predestinated you, that He has called you, that He has justified you, and those that He's justified, He will glorify. Glorify. Or He has glorified. Our personal salvation is grounded in God's sovereignty. That's why the Apostle Peter said, "Have you made your calling and election sure? Have you heard His voice? Have you come when He called you? Have you made that election sure to know that you've been rooted at God?" Jesus, as He was hanging on the cross, He saw you hanging on that cross. And He saw the night. He saw the night you're going to humble yourself down before Him. And oh, He saw that joy. He said He saw the joy on the other side of the cross. He saw the joy that was going to erupt in heaven when that one sinner that was wandering would come to Him. You know that when you do come to Him, that God gives you the righteousness of His own Son. And He puts that on your account. And it's personal. This is how personal it is. It provides peace to your soul. Because there's only one that can reconcile you to God. And that is Jesus. I have two more that I want to share, if you can hang in there with me. We're secured because of Christ's intercession. Do you know that right now, Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you and I? Do you know as God's children that Jesus is praying for us and making intercession for us as He's there at the Father's right hand side? And I'll tell you, when Jesus prays, His prayers get answered. And then finally, how do we know that we are secured in Him? Because God's Word is true. Jesus says right here, and I'll read it again. He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." God's Word is true. Are you wandering and wondering where your life is going to end up? Tonight I want to encourage you to seek the Good Shepherd. I want you to acknowledge that you can't save yourself, and you need Him to come and find you. He will.
If you have been saved by God's grace, are you rejoicing in the Good Shepherd who gave His own life for you, that He might give unto you an eternal salvation that no man can ever take away from you? Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd."